It's a pleasure always to be able to proclaim God's word. I start off by reminiscing, and trust me, it will eventually become plain what my illustration is with regards to the lesson. Now, I'm sure you ladies who have been to college, this does not apply to you. But those male members here who have been to college where you lived in a dorm know that there was a shower room. Now, it's not the same thing as like when your mother took care of the bathroom at home. And so my illustration is this. It's an old one, but this. A young man there at college in a dorm went to take a shower. He didn't have a bar of soap, but he knew that there would be some bars of soap left around. And so after he got done, he thought, well, I'll just make sure I have one. So he took it and went back to his room. But then he thought about something, and so he had suddenly came back, hurriedly came back, and there was someone there, and he put the soap down on the lavatory, and he said, I'm not going to hell over a bar of soap. And that's the theme of this lesson. Not the soap, but making the decision that we have to always make. So it is that here at the Forks in the Road, for we are every day at the Forks in the Road of doing what is right. Over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. It's not the bar of soap, but it is the action that was taken. And so it is that whenever that we have here a person, picture this, traveling down the road, he comes to a place where the road divides, a fork in the road. Now, obviously, if you're traveling on the interstate, you better know ahead where you're going. But here, one might make a choice in life, the fork in the road in life. And fearing that he might make the wrong choice, and this is someone that's really got a problem, he decides to turn back. And another one might go along and he chooses I'll just take the pretty one. I'll take the pretty choice. I'll take the easy choice. So we're talking about a person thus that is in a, let's go on. Easy way out. But then think of our young man that said he wasn't going to hell over a bar of soap. For the young, the fact is, the fact of choice, it's important. And we need to learn, not just the young people, but all of us, that there are decisions that we have to make. Now, you may think the choice of the bath soap is pretty picayune. I'll explain that word later on if you don't know what it means. But it's something that is just, who cares about it? It's insignificant. But there are decisions that you and I must make every day of right or wrong. Right or wrong, that's what it boils down to. For the young, the fact of choice, as I say here, is important. regarding whether or not that we're going to serve the Lord. We need to set up within us that desire that is going to help us always make the right choice. And so we try to teach our young people the scriptures. We try to teach them what it means to be a child of God and what it takes to be a child of God. For those of us that are somewhat older, the subject of choice may not really be as critical because we've already made a lot of choices, and thus we have established a pattern. We've established the way that we want to do things. And it may be, as we see in this lesson, a reminder that we need to make the right choices just as much as we want the young people to. As we study the scriptures, we see people that are given as examples to us. They made the right choice. Joseph, Joshua, Elijah, Paul, etc. But none are quite as vivid with so much at stake as Moses made the choices throughout life. And even he was not perfect. Whenever that we consider here that he reached a fork in the road in his life, he made these definite choices. And he made them through all 120 years. Of his life, except one time, when he struck the rock. Yet he is an example for us overall for what he has done. There comes a point in your life, in my life, in everyone's life, where we have to make the ultimate choice of whether we're going to obey God or not. Decisions have got to be made between what is in the world, the flesh, or the spiritual side. To choose God or Satan, to be with God's people, or to be with the world, with Satan's people. Now, what are we going to make? What's our choice? It doesn't matter what successes someone may have in life, enjoy, what promises the world may be. Well, let me put it this way. There are those that make good choices, and yet they are more concerned about the choices that are well known. But they fall afoul of the idea of taking the bar of soap. In other words, maybe what, oh, well, doesn't matter, I can do this. Let me illustrate it with what I have seen so common in Colorado Springs. Running a light, a red light. I've never lived, so help me people, in a town, a city, a place where every light that you come to, I don't care if it is perfectly green, you better look both ways. Because there's someone out there that might ruin your day, and you know it. Anyone who makes the wrong choice, spiritually, even if it's just a little one, like a bar of soap, you have set a pattern in your life that can lead you to other wrong choices. We must decide for God. Anyone who does not decide for God is against God. Matthew 12 and verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. No, yes, do, don't. There's always two choices for us to make. The two elements in every decision. Negative, positive, right, wrong, refusal, acceptance. We gathered here today hopefully make all the right choices. And that's why we're here. But God be merciful to us. If we make even an insignificant wrong choice, let us immediately ask His forgiveness. Whenever that we come before Him, well, here's what we're really talking about with the example of Moses. Moses said no to something. He said no, and he meant it. Choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Now, this had to be absolutely overwhelming influences that he had to face. We're not talking about the man in the street, so to speak, or if you want, in his case, the man among the pyramids. The fact is that he had everything that the royal house of a godless kingdom could offer. And he implied, no, he didn't just imply, he did it. He refused the temptation. He had the knowledge. Why? I would like to think that maybe it's because, remember, that he was raised willingly by his mother after that Pharaoh's daughter allowed him to be raised that way to her. And Moses might have considered, think about this. Why do people sometimes make the wrong choice? They try to rationalize it. Well, let's see. There's a wallet over here. I found it. This, all right, I'm not holding myself up as an example, but this did happen to me. During one of the parades downtown, and everyone was cheering and all this. I think it's Veterans Day parade or whatever. Nancy, we got to march in it. Retired Air Force nurses, you know. I had to find a parking place for the car downtown. So I found one about 4 or 5 blocks away from everything. And so I was hurrying to make sure that I didn't miss any part of the parade, especially the Air Force nurses. And as I went along, all at once, in front of me, there was a wallet, a billfold. Oh, I thought, some poor soul. Well, anyway, I picked it up. Now, what am I going to do? It's someone from out of state. And it had in it a lot of that green stuff. But it had a lot of plastic stuff too. Someone was hurting. Fortunately, my mom and daddy raised me the right way. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but just as an example, there was never a thought in my mind to keep any part of that, but to try and return it. I turned it into the police station. That's all I know that happened. I trust that they found the person. Moses had more than a wallet in front of him. He had the way of life of the Egyptians, the royal house of the Egyptians. And that means all those idols, means all that wealth, all that particular life. He could have reasoned that God did determine that he was to remain there in the house of Pharaoh and maybe even later become Pharaoh, and then he might be able to institute some changes. Ha! That's not the way it went. And so, as it says here in Luke 11:24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Take a bar of soap. And the next time you'll be willing to take that wallet. The next time you'll be willing to do something even more. We have to constantly look at what we are doing. We don't just merely stop serving sin, but we start serving God. We make a determination, and I'm not for even the slightest reason, I cannot think of anything more insignificant than a used bar of soap. Because from there it can go up to all sorts of sin as far as that goes. The passage here in Romans 6 and beginning with verse 11 is something that we need to keep constantly ahead of us. One time that I saw someone that had part of these verses on one of these things, you know, a plaque or whatever, in their house. But as Paul writes, likewise ye also, according to the reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your heart, in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And then he said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. What an encouragement to a child of God, what Paul had to say. Of course, get back to Moses, there was a negative side of choice. Of course, we've already sort of touched on it. There's a lot that he gave up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in the highest social position in Egypt among the family of Pharaoh. But he considered them to be in the world. He did not want to be identified with people of the world. And some people, especially parents, I've seen them, I think you probably have too, have this in reverse. They want their children to be identified with the world, accepted into the society. They teach their little girls from an early age some of these things that have ever happened. You remember the case of the Joan Bennett Ramsey, the poor little girl. She was primped up and taught to be all ready. How old was she? She was what, 5 or 6 years old, with lipstick, makeup. God help us if that's all we expect of our daughters. And likewise of our sons, to be part of the world, accepted into society. I'm sure that when Moses brought disappointment, and I'm sure he did bring disappointment to the family of Pharaoh, those had given him all his training, position, and opportunities, and yet he turned away from all these. Just stop and think for a second here about Moses. Let's picture him. Here he is, growing up in Pharaoh's house. Yes, his mother had him for a time, his family. And fortunately, it does appear that that was something that she was able to entrust him with or infuse him with, and that was the idea of obedience to Jehovah, because he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But there are people in the world that would think, oh, if only I could endue my child with this recognition, with this social graces, with... And yeah, the children sometimes have the social graces of the world, but they are zero as far as spiritual things. Moses' decision, I'm sure, was not taken well by Pharaoh's house. Now, I'm sure we've all seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. I'm not saying that's exactly how it was, but it sort of gets the point across, doesn't it? He turned away from all that. He didn't choose the very temporal enjoyment of sin, the physical pleasures. He could have been a prince of Egypt, maybe even Pharaoh. Now there's something. To be a Pharaoh, just stop a minute. I'm just thinking here. I'm adding something to the outline. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to hurry up. But just think about what all it would mean to be a Pharaoh. Well, until the time they put you in a coffin or a whatever and put you in a pyramid or something like that. But until that time, all you had to do is, today I'd say snap your fingers and it would be done. All the pleasures you could indulge in, whatever. I'm sorry. Whatever pleasures your little heart may desire, as long as worldly and definitely sinful. But he didn't choose that. He turned away from it. And he knew that this was why. That this would not be his lot, because he knew what his lot was greater with God. Whenever then that we look to what John had to say here, love not the world nor the things in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The other translation says vainglory of life. I think that's even better. Vainglory. It's vain. What have you got? It's just in this world. It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He didn't choose the treasures of Egypt. You know, they've found so much incredible wealth buried in the tombs of the pharaohs and the other high ups of Egypt and everything. But what did it do for them? They thought they could take it with them. They thought that they needed it in the afterlife. They had all sorts of provisions put in the tombs. The cost to Moses of his choice is not tallied up in what he gave up, like totaling up, you know, 4 billion here, 6 million there, jewel here, gold there. Rather, it is that he chose suffering with God's people. I think he actually expected a life of hardship as a result of his choice. In fact, as Paul wrote Timothy, "They all that would desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." People are going to laugh at us. Sometimes they'll do more than laugh. You think about taking a bar of soap. Let's get back to that. If someone, and I don't know that that was a real thing that happened, I hope it did happen to anyone that saw a bar of soap there in the shower room, that someone that saw him put back, if indeed there was someone that did this, saw them put that soap back and make that illustration, would laugh at them. A Christian should expect a life of hardship, but a life of happiness. Oh, there's going to be hard things happening in life, but it's going to get better in the hereafter. The reproach of Christ stands for any who unfairly or suffer this persecution. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. I found that particular translation and I thought about it. Beaten for your faults because you deserve it. But you take it as you should. Just punishment. You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For this you were called for. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. His faith, Moses' faith, was a factor that motivated him. By faith, Moses did this. We read in our text. And he led God's people. All the glory that came to Moses because of doing right. And he looked to the earthly, heavenly treasures more than the earthly ones. And so this is what we can expect also as well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us. Who? Which ones? Who's sitting in the seat out there that God has blessed you? The answer is what? Every one of us here today. He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, in considering Moses' case, you know, he had a clear eye for distinguishing right from wrong, obviously. Do you remember what he did the first time that he saw an Egyptian beating up one of the Hebrews? He killed that Egyptian. Evidently, he was doing much the same that Egyptian was to the Hebrew. He was motivated by faith. What motivates you? What motivates me? It better be faith. We better have faith. It better motivate us more than anything else. Faith in God and his promise to us. So in Moses' case, we see that he had that faith. He was able to see right from wrong. Solid food, we are told in the Hebrew letter, belongs to those who are full of age, that is, by those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Where do we start? We start by not taking that bar of soap. We start by obedience to our parents. We start by love for God. Whenever that we then have this faith, what is it that we have? We have that which, by which we can discern. Whenever that we have studied the word, grown, we talk about growing strong in the faith. And we're able to, we're not like someone out here that says, what should I do? There's a wallet on the ground. What should I do? My friends want me to go with them on this trip to Las Vegas. I'm sorry, I picked that out. You put anything in there you want. But don't let the world be your guide. Moses had an eye, a clear eye, for seeing right from wrong. He had the wisdom to understand, to comprehend the things that were of great value. Even a bar of soap. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Moses knew the pleasures of this world were just temporary. In fact, as Luke says, and I will say to my soul, you have much good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, fool, this night your soul is required of you. In other words, your time is coming to an end. And then whose will these things be that you have provided for? Moses made the right choice always, except one time. Except one time. And yet, let me deviate from the outline here for just a second. Where do we read about Moses in the New Testament? With the Lord on that night? Can you imagine knowing that later you would be able to encourage the Son of God? I could go through all these things, but if you haven't figured it out by now, it's not going to help. But if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Moses looked forward to a reward, and he accepted whatever it took to get there, even though he fell one time. I one time had this verse listed above my computer in my room, in my desk. We better all believe it. For I consider, Paul writes, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is it that we then have? Moses became a name down through the ages for the people of the world to look to as an example of what one should be. Here's where Moses comes in. To comfort the Son of God before he was to die for the sins of the world. All these men and women of faith that are listed in Hebrews 11, they're an encouragement to us. But Moses, well, I'm just sort of hurrying through here because Moses stands out forefront as the one that is the great example for us to follow that example. The world thinks his choice was foolish, absurd, but yet it led him to be able to encourage the Son of God before he died for the sins of the world. Blessings yours.